This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
I'm not going to be in this class for long because I'm going to be up in the nave with Carter and our newcomers to get them ready for the bishop's visit next week. So we're very excited about that. We have a small class, but they're a great group of folks, and we're going to walk through the liturgy with them so they'll be comfortable when the bishop comes. But just to remind you, most of you are here last week, and you know, last week we kind of went over what the canons say about stewardship, what the Episcopal Church, the diocese, says about it, and who we are as a congregation, what we do, how we think about stewardship, and that just to kind of get a context for what it is we're actually talking about. And then later to come, we have Harvest Sunday, which is October the 27th. We're going to start in the month of October will be our actual stewardship campaign when we're asking people to think about, you remember last week we said stewardship is 52 weeks a year because it's a life. It's a way in which we respond to the generosity of God in our lives, right? However, the church also has to make plans, right? So we also have a pledge season when we ask people to commit time, talent, and treasure to the church so that we can then begin thinking about the budget for 2025. And that's coming up on Harvest Sunday, the 27th of October. We're going to have one combined service at 10:30, where we will ask people to bring their commitments, their financial commitments to the church and take them to the altar. Then we will have a beautiful meal together from Chef Ray and his amazing cohorts in Cafe Divine. And then we're going to have a ministry fair. So you can come and talk to representatives of the myriad ministries here at St. David's, learn what's going on, and figure out how you can commit your time and your talent to this work as well. I think there's going to be pumpkin painting activities for all of us, for all those childish ones, right, who want to do that. And it's just going to be great fun. So mark your calendar for that. So in the meantime, I think I'm going to let Eric tell you what we're actually here to talk about. But what we're really encouraging you to do is to think about ways that you can respond to the generosity of God in your life. And that includes your finances, but it also includes your time and your talent. It includes your heart. It includes your relationships. It includes how you treat other people in the world. I mean, it's just that there, in fact, there is no, it's how you care for your body. I mean, there's no area where this doesn't touch. And in fact, that might be a pretty good indicator for you. If there's an area in your life where you haven't asked that stewardship question, maybe that's the work. Maybe you got it down on the financial piece, or you're a good volunteer, you've already given a lot of time, but maybe there's some other aspect where you're afraid, or you're holding too tightly, or you're just don't want God to see that part, maybe, you know. But it's an invitation to think about that part of your life and open that up for God's grace, and also as a way for you to respond as a good steward in his life. So I'm going to hand it to Eric, and I'm going to go play with our new members, and I'll talk to you all later, okay?
Thank you, Chuck. So the first thing I'd like to do is show a video. Many of you have seen this. Some of you may not have. Some of you may have heard about this award that St. David's received from the Downtown Austin Alliance. Basically, you know, recognizing St. David's and for all the work they've done in downtown Austin. And this is the inaugural award for the Downtown Austin Alliance Vision Award winner. So I'm going to play this video here, and then we'll get into our discussion.
This church is not afraid of the modern world. It's not afraid of the growth that's going on in downtown Austin. It believes that the love of God is vibrant and alive and has something to say in the middle of all that growth. And we want to be a part of it. We adapt and we adjust to the things that are happening in Austin because we feel like it's our neighborhood. It's our place and we love it and we live here and we want to share the love of Christ here. Because that seems to be this consistent thing that St. David's has done over those 175 years.
What I think most people don't realize is that St. David's Healthcare and the original St. David's Hospital were really established by St. David's Episcopal Church 100 years ago in 1924. Five local community physicians approached St. David's Episcopal Church asking for a loan to acquire a small hospital. The church wanted to establish a medical ministry, a healing ministry, a place where people could receive compassionate care, and they agreed to provide the loan. And as a result, the hospital was renamed St. David's Hospital.
There was a time when young families that were in downtown needed a school, and so we've opened St. David's Episcopal School. Then 25 years ago, there were groups of homeless people around the church, and our membership began to cook meals. And that has expanded into Trinity Center.
The Trinity Center functions as a day center for folks who are experiencing homelessness. Our services include anything from a daily breakfast meal, serving more than 500 people every week, to folks being able to use our address as a mailing address. Our foundational values are radical hospitality, love, care. People are not just a transaction here. People are people.
St. David's does an amazing job leading with love, and I just really appreciate being at a church where their word is so important, then their actions represent their word.
The Laundry Love program is once a month. We serve the gift card that gives you the ability to wash clothes, and we give them soap pods and dryer sheets. People come up and they're so appreciative because their children are hungry. I was hungry when I went there because I was strapped financially. I was surprised that a church would sponsor such a program. The ministry helped me realize that St. David's is a part of the community.
I found that people were very welcoming to people of different racial and ethnic backgrounds, people of different gender and sexual identities, and even people of different faith traditions.
Jeremy and I were married here on August 8th, right after it became legal in 2015. And it affirmed our belief that we were not just welcomed here, but we're celebrated.
One of the challenges we've always faced is finding a welcoming community. That was never an issue here. St. David's has been a leader by serving the community for nearly two centuries. My being a part of St. David's helps me connect not just to the parish, but also helps me connect and serve the larger community, the city as a whole.
One of the core values of this congregation is engaging the boundaries. And we think about that physically, relationally, and spiritually. Part of the engaging the boundaries is pushing on boundaries intentionally that have been put in place to oppress or push people down. St. David's continues to do this work of responding to the love of God, and it's expansive. It pushes. It pushes out into the world, and I think it translates into love and light in the most beautiful ways.
So that is a lovely example of the things that are going on here at St. David's. And we talked last week about how every one of us here is a steward, right? And it's the stewardship of all of the people of St. David's that make that kind of stuff possible. Your financial gifts, your gift of time and talent, right? The hands that are out there doing this work. You know, as I said last week, you know, the staff here, we could never do all this work that we just saw here. It's with the people, right, that all this work gets to be done. So what we want to talk about today is, what is your personal experience with stewardship? What is the spiritual nature of your relationship with stewardship? And how can we maybe encourage our fellow parishioners to become more involved in stewardship? Right? So there are three questions on that paper there. And so the way we're going to do this is we're going to take one question at a time. Each table will discuss that question. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to kind of discuss that question. Then we'll have someone be a spokesman for, you know, what were some of the ideas that you came up with at your table? And I'll pass the mic around to each table. And if someone will just take it upon themselves to grab the pen and sort of be the scribe, and any good idea, you don't have to jot down everything that's said, but just if, you know, oh, wow, that sounds like a good idea, just jot that down, or that's a good thought, just jot that down. And you can turn those into me at the end, and that's going to help me kind of foment some ideas about how we can do stewardship here at St. David's. So let's start with that first question there, which is, why do I give my time, talent, and treasure to St. David's. Why do you give of yourself? So go ahead and discuss among yourselves, and then I'll pass the mic around here in just a few minutes. Okay, folks, I'm going to jump back in here with you. And what we'll do is I'm going to walk the mic over table by table, and I'm just going to have one person share a little bit about what you guys talked about on that question. And we are testing out a new system as far as recording. So I will ask you to please try to remember when you're sharing to hold it up the mic so that when folks go online to look at this, they're going to be able to hear what you're saying. So I'm going to start to my left over here. I'm going to go to the back table right over here.
We donate our time, talent, and treasure because we love and respect the people who have gone before us, the people who built this congregation, and gave us the opportunity and the responsibility to carry God's work forward. We value the community here, and we think that the kindness that we experience here can be carried into the world and amplified. This is a place of compassion, and it's good to know that the ability to have compassion still exists in the world. We all concur that showing up is a big part of the battle and carrying on the work of Christ, and you can always take kindness home with you. And we recognize that the world belongs to God, and it is ours to take care of and to improve for those who come after us.
Great. Thank you, Matt.
Well, I loved what your table said. Our table was a little more practical. We talked about really the tradition of how we got started with stewardship, and many of us had families that wrote their checks every week, put them in the envelopes. And then a number of us just said, how did we get involved with time and talent? And it was because we didn't have treasure, and so that's what we had, and we started with that, and then we had a little treasure. It was just a natural transition from time and talent to treasure. A lot of it was that we were asked by others, would you do this? Would you teach Sunday school? Would you sing in the choir? And that was like the first step in the journey. We developed a community within those activities. We wanted to contribute to the bigger church because we saw all of the other ministries, and that it just seems to be easier with time to be actively pledgers, you know, active pledgers. With time, we feel like it's just part of our duty to the church, but not in duty in a bad way. It's a privilege.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks for that, Karen. Our table, again, pretty practical. We talked about it's how we got involved with our time and talent and treasures is really our upbringing. Some of us just take the comfort in seeing, you know, our history come into play. As, you know, a few of us said, maybe just the opposite. We wanted to do what we didn't see as growing up. As we started our families, we decided that our children were what we wanted to focus on, and the church was such a part of that with our children. So many of us get grounding when we come to church, when we're involved here, when we participate and grow our circles of friends. We like to pay it forward, whether it be our time or talent or our treasures, as well as also leaving a legacy.
Thank you, Terry.
To add to that, we discussed how the church is our community and we want to give back to our community in our time and treasure, and how, you know, we go out, quote, into the real world and we work and then we come back and we get recentered in God and Christ. And so we want to give back to that and support that. In addition to that, when we discuss the budget, when we have our big meetings and we discuss the budget, it's you realize that, you know, our staff doesn't do this for free. And we have a really good staff that really, they are so committed to St. David's above and beyond just getting paid for it. So we feel that we want to make sure that our staff is paid and that we are able to continue to do what we do, not just for our parishioners, but also for the community at large.
Thank you, Allison. So we'll move to question two. And this is where you may have to get into your feelings a little bit. So don't want to scare anyone off, okay? But let's look at question two here, which says, am I approaching my giving in a spiritual way? And so something that we talked a little bit about last week was that, you know, making a gift of your time, talent, and treasure to the church is different than making your budget to pay for the cable bill or for the electric bill, right? This kind of giving should be more than just, you know, a line on a ledger for you. So how are you engaging that in your stewardship? And how can we maybe think about that from a St. David's wide perspective? So I'll set the timer. Okay, folks, I'm going to jump back in. I'm going to stop you, and we're going to do the same thing. I'm just going to kind of go table to table, and we'll start here at the front table, and then we'll just go around. And just a reminder again to hold the mic up close to your mouth so we get that good recording for folks. Okay, here we go. Sandy Boone.
Hi. In looking at whether we were approaching our giving in a spiritual way, that fact that it's not just a check, that it was, we kind of began talking as a group about how it's an act of faith, and it's different than other transactions where you expect something in return, that you we're already getting the return whether we give or not, and that we're basically putting money in God's hands, and that it also is, I guess, understanding that the church, the people that are making those stewardship decisions, are asking for God's grace. We need to pay attention to it, but it doesn't also give us any more power like maybe in other organizations where you would expect something to happen with, you know, if I do this, then the organization's going to follow through with that. So it's different that way. And I guess it began as a question, am I approaching my giving in a spiritual way? And it was, I think the overall answer is, we're trying to be fair.
Thanks, Sandy. I'm going to go back over here. We'll go the other direction this time.
Okay, so our discussion really did get into some of the feels about all this. But the center point, I think, for all of this is that when we give, whether it's time, talent, treasure, what have you, that we do it intentionally, that we do it consciously, which before you can do something like that, you've got to sort of step back and realize where you are, what you've done, what you can do in addition to what you're doing, or if you need to do something differently. And we've all of us on this table were talking about how there were times where we realized that, yeah, there was maybe something different we could do, whether that was in addition to what we were doing or just something completely different. But it was something that paid back with what we were doing, and that was part of what made St. David's grow, or maybe even a different parish or church. And as long as you're taking that time to refocus from time to time, then it helped to make that next step a lot easier.
Thank you, John.
Well, when we first started this conversation, it was like we weren't sure if it was from a spiritual way. It was something we did, and it came from gratitude, from appreciation for what this place is. And as we talked more, George reminded us of the Capital Campaign and the concept of it's our turn. So kind of going with what Matt suggested about the legacy, it's to support the legacy of this church and the foundation that we have in this community. And, you know, so if, and then we came to, yes, it is from a spiritual way that the church is the foundation, and it's important to continue the nature of the church. And so.
Thank you, Ann.
We concluded that we do largely give in a spiritual way, but that we could do better. We found spiritual grace and gifts in the concepts of helping others, of being mindful and grateful for God's gifts. And we also found it very spiritual to be able to express gratitude that we have the resources to give back.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, I like the idea that was kind of shared generally by all the tables in one way or another, that this isn't a transactional thing, right? This is something that we're doing without any hope of return. That's not what we're doing this for. We're giving back to God what is already His. We're just holding on to this stuff for a little while. This stuff isn't ours anyway, right? We're just giving back from the bounty from which we received. And so that's a really great spiritual, place to be when you're thinking about your stewardship giving. And like we've said many times, not just your money, but your time and talent too, right? Putting your hands in the community to grow the kingdom of God, right? Okay, last question. So all these wonderful ideas that we've come up with here in the first 30 minutes today, how do we share that? How can I invite other parishioners to be generous and spiritual givers? I'll set the timer. It says I, George, so let's get it from your perspective. Okay, folks, so let's share on this last question. I'm going to start in the middle this time. Yep, here we go. Yep.
We struggled. Well, we started out with the fact that this is not our strength as Episcopalians. And Tom reminded us of, in the day of doing the witness, when people would get up and witness as to why they gave, and that was powerful a lot of times in terms of someone getting up and sharing what it means to them. We talked about we could do a better job with the invitation to people who are in our church for other reasons during the week, that maybe do a better job of inviting them in and making sure they realize we're here and it's a great place to come to church and doing that sort of thing. And another thought was to look at the turnover we've had, especially since the pandemic, and maybe an outreach in that area might be something to explore.
Thank you, Ann.
Someone at our table pointed out wisely that one of the best ways to promote stewardship is to be on the stewardship committee and just do the work of the stewardship committee. We talked about how the values of the church, that we could point out that the value that the church gives can help us create, I use the term permission structure, to each other and to newcomers to participate and to give. We were mindful that that we need to mirror the behaviors. We need to do the things that we want other people to. We want to have the behaviors that we want other people to imitate, and you know that. The example of showing up and participating and being kind is an important and readily available portion of stewardship.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, we all agree that it's hard to ask other people to give, and that in the little book that some of us read about the spirituality of giving, it part of the message there is that you shouldn't be embarrassed to do this. But it goes against our cultural norms to get into people's personal business, and so somehow we have to do it in a way that just makes them aware of the need. And of the benefit, too, that with our personal sharing about how we've received more than we've given. There's two kinds of ways this happens. There's the passive way of just being the good example and just sharing the things that you've received without saying, by the way, have you given? And then there's the calls that we make sometimes as vestry members, you know, where it's really active, it's really direct. And that's where we need to be. We need to be really equipped with talking points when we do that and let people know that, for instance, last year we had to make some very painful cuts to our personnel. Some beloved people had to lose their jobs because we just didn't have the money. And I think if more people were aware of that, they would perhaps be less reluctant to write that check.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. First of all, I would say we ought to leverage that video in fundraising because I found that very motivational. And it made me think that, you know, that in my case, that the church brings Terry and I a lot of joy, and so I thought about the phrase, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And it's not just writing the check that that physical act doesn't necessarily bring you joy, but it's all the things that it leads to, whether it's joy you get from our worship services, a men's group, a women's group, ramp builds, helping the homeless. There's just so many ways and opportunities that St. David's, you know, brings us all together as a community in. And so I think it would be helpful to, you know, remind people of the ways that St. David's makes us a community and brings us joy, and then you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to go from there to then what that person feels compelled to give to continue that. But it's not our job to, ever our job to browbeat or hold people to a certain standard of giving, but we put the best case before them and then trust that the Holy Spirit will encourage them to do the right thing.
Thank you, John. Well, I think we've had a lot of good discussion today, a lot of good ideas. You know, in thinking about that last question, you know, to the point of, you know, it is sort of an uncomfortable thing to go to someone else and talk about it, and you don't want to get into somebody's personal business or browbeat them, and all those things are true. But if we go back to the question before, that question about the spiritual nature, if we're coming from a spiritual place, you know, as was said, we shouldn't feel uncomfortable, embarrassed about talking about this. Just, hey, you know, I'm giving, you know, we're in the middle of the campaign and I'm planning to give, you know, is that something that you've prayed or thought about? Because what I've done is this, and this, and then you can give, you know, your experience back to question one, right? So just something for all of us to think about as we move into October, as we're getting into that season, as Chuck talked about, and building that budget for 2025, getting those gift commitments to come in so that we can have a healthy budget for next year. I'd like to thank everyone that's come to these seminars. We have great representation from the vestry and the stewardship committee, which to me points to a healthy stewardship culture, right? Your church leadership, not just the staff, but the congregation's leadership is here, and it's important to them, and that's great. And Chuck gave a shout out to George at the beginning for you know, his work as senior warden and leading the vestry, and I'd like to give a shout out to Terry Orton for her serving as the chairperson of our stewardship committee. So, you know, it's the work of all the folks on the vestry and those committees that trickles down to the congregation at large. So just think about these things as we move next month, and you'll have all the information will be coming out soon about the campaign for the 2025 budget. But maybe think about these things when that time comes, and, you know, act according to how the Holy Spirit moves you. So I want to close this in prayer. I've got, we've got one last comment from our esteemed senior warden. George.
The practical point of this is that at some point we're going to be sending out these letters and asking people to, you know, for their, you know, pledge. And there's going to be a difference between how many we send out and how many respond. So my point is that you can sign me up to be the one of the people to call the people that haven't, who pledged last year, that haven't pledged this year yet.
Good. Yay. Thank you, George. We'll
be starting. We will. Also, George, that's what George is saying. He wants his
hands. Yeah. So we will be asking for more volunteers for that, and George is getting us kicked off there, and thank you, George, for that. But because, yeah, there will be some work to be done by folks on both the vestry and the stewardship committee when we get into that season next month. So, as I said, some of you in here are on the stewardship committee. Some of you have served on it before, but for those of you that haven't, there's a lovely prayer that Franna Keith and Lee Parker came up with a few years ago, and this is a prayer that we pray at every committee meeting, and I love this prayer, and we're going to incorporate this prayer in our giving campaign this year as well. So, the Lord be with you. God of heaven and earth, you have made your handiwork known in your bountiful creation, and in our lives filled with grace. Help us to remember those who have gone before us, who generously planted seeds that have matured and now are bearing fruit. Guide us so that we may also be generous in our response to your goodness and plant seeds that will become deeply rooted, transformed, and fruitful for today and for future generations. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.